The Lord be with you, and also with you. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Since 2014, this Sunday closest to Earth Day, we have worshiped and preached with an attention to the climate. In keeping with that tradition, we celebrate God's creation this day in liturgy and word. As we come toward our 75th anniversary of the dedication of Marsh Chapel in 1950, we intend for this day to become, by 2026, a full day of Boston University and BU religious life attention to the care of our globe. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. As Abel, please stand in the praise of God.
Thank you.
us pray. Source of all, open our ears with renewed awe for the splendor that unfolds around us and renewed compassion for your cries for help. Then calm our fears and fill us with your peace, that we too might become your risen body, overflowing with grace to transform and renew, until together with all that you have borne, we join in one great anthem of new life. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. God, in all your creation, you have revealed to us the fragile interdependence of life. We confess at times we have rebelled against you with ideas of self-sufficiency and extreme individualism. We reap without sowing and do harm without knowing. Open our eyes and our hearts to your creation and all who labor to offer us daily with food, water, energy, and sanitation. Help us to build a just, sustainable community of equitable sharing, solidarity, and gratitude. Let us confess our sin together as the choir guides us in our Kyrie. Siblings in Christ, hear the good news. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God.
A lesson from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, Lord, you are. Please join me in reading responsively Psalm 150 with the antiphon. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise God in his mighty firmament. Praise God for his mighty deeds. Praise God for his excellent greatness. Praise God with the trumpet sound. Praise God with the lute and harp. Praise God with tambourine and dance. Praise God with strings and pipe. Praise God with sounding cymbals. Praise God with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And now, beloved, rise up in body as you are able, but certainly in heart, for the singing of the Gloria and the reading of the Gospel.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Recently, my husband and I have started a new Saturday morning ritual. We get up reasonably early for a Saturday morning and head out to pick up a coffee and take a walk in our neighboring areas. Sometimes we wander the paths that track along the Charles River, noticing the birds that make their ways to the shoreline, weaving in and out of wooded areas that intersect with roads and town squares. Sometimes we explore Mount Auburn Cemetery, a gorgeous mix of cultivated trees, flowers, ponds, and wildlife in the midst of a functioning burial ground, a national historic landmark in its own right that draws birders, historians, and scientists who are doing urban ecological research to its grounds. Most recently, we found our way to Fresh Pond, aided by the trails that the local departments of conservation and recreation have built to provide car-free paths through Watertown and Cambridge. Each of these walks takes us about an hour and a half up to 2 hours. We make our way, noticing the world around us, guessing at tree and bird species. Mount Auburn lets us cheat a little by having those placards on all their trees. And greeting walkers and runners and dog owners as we come across them, allowing ourselves to feel closer to something bigger than ourselves. We took up this practice during the early days of the pandemic. You probably remember that when we were told to stay home and away from others, going outdoors for a walk was one of the few things public officials encouraged. Get outside. Get fresh air, get some exercise. Being cooped up indoors for so long isn't good for your mental health. It was one of the safe options when we knew little about the coronavirus, and fear of getting sick or getting others sick was our dominant thought. In a time of high anxiety, the nature outside our front door helped us feel, if you will excuse the pun, more grounded. Walking these areas also helped us grow in our appreciation for where we live. Despite our urban landscape, we can easily access these green spaces. We are lucky and recognize that not everyone has such access. It also made us realize nature's healing properties. And it's not just us thinking it helped our moods. Studies have shown that connections with nature can help improve individuals' mental and physical health, decreasing anxiety and depression, easing muscle tension and lowering blood pressure, and even decreasing the duration of hospital stays. We don't put in headphones on these walks so we can hear the birds singing, the lapping of the water at the edges of the rivers and ponds. We occasionally take our walks on brutally cold or rainy mornings. This is usually more my husband's idea than mine. But we get to see animals we might not otherwise encounter and appreciate the cycles of the seasons and the weather patterns in nature revealing themselves to us. These walks helped us get through the long stretches of us only seeing each other during lockdown. It broke up our days that seemed to run together. And now it's something that we can do to connect with each other after a busy week of work. Nature has taught us resilience. We have seen it take over abandoned areas with trees and grasses pushing through old pavement. We are reminded of the renewal experienced each year as new buds and blooms inevitably begin to grow during the grayest days of March and April. Nature also reveals the complexity of the world around us. The water levels of the Charles remind us of whether we've been having too much or too little rain. The presence of certain wildlife, or lack thereof, has made us question how human interference has or has not created problems. Mostly, it gives us hope and a sense of being connected to the divine through the creation. Instead of viewing the world through our computer screens, which is something I will admit has taken up too much of my time lately, getting out into our local environment helps us feel more complete. It makes us more aware. It refuels us. It is healing in a world that increasingly feels more and more out of control. In today's gospel, we encounter the disciples in a locked room on the first day of the week. They are fearful. Their world has been turned upside down by the recent events they've experienced. They've lost their leader. The state executed Jesus, and now, who knows, they might be the next because they were his followers. Hiding appears to be the best option because there is so much uncertainty around them. Despite the fact that Jesus has told the disciples that his time will come and they will have to continue his ministry without them, they are still terrified. They were told to believe and to continue on, and yet they find it hard in their present circumstances. Fear overtakes their faith, it freezes them and causes them to want to remain hidden from the world. They keep themselves hidden because they can't move on. They are directionless and have only each other to cling to in the immediate aftermath of Jesus' death. Jesus then appears through a locked door meant to keep the outside world out there and the disciples safe in here. He wishes peace upon them and breathes the Holy Spirit on them. They recognize him through his repetition of peace, the words he shares with them. The whole thing is completely beyond comprehension for the disciples. No one expected a week after his death that Jesus would appear, least of all the disciples who didn't seem to believe Mary Magdalene's testimony from the day of Jesus' resurrection. Everything is once again upended by his appearance, even if for a short time. However, Jesus' words calm them, and they recognize their Savior. Jesus' presence fosters the disciples' resilience. While Jesus had intended for his words before his death to provide a reminder to the disciples of how they were to proceed after he was no longer with them, they needed an extra boost of his presence and the work of the Holy Spirit to motivate them and to proclaim the good news. They find Thomas, who wasn't there when Jesus appeared, and share the good news that Mary and Jesus have already shared with them. Thomas, in turn, doesn't believe them. Thomas has always been a questioner, a seeker. You may remember that in chapter 14, after Jesus tells the disciples that he is preparing a place for them with God, Thomas states that they don't know where he is going. So therefore, how can they know what the way is? Jesus then replies that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Evidently, all of the disciples forgot this exchange. Thomas, too, comes to recognize Jesus' power in his second appearance to the disciples. It's not that Thomas doubts, but that he wants to experience what the other disciples saw the week prior. The author of the gospel instills in us as readers that we too should trust in Jesus' resurrection, not because we will be able to physically witness it as the disciples did, but because we have faith in God. Thomas questions because he wants to be sure of his faith in God, securing and owning his faith. Thomas's questioning is a form of resilience because it helps him to grow into his faith, finally confessing my Lord and my God when he encounters Jesus. The resurrection and these subsequent appearances by Jesus to the disciples, including Mary, remind us of the boldness of our faith. Our Christian tradition is rooted in making a way out of no way. The impossible becomes possible. Refueled and reoriented by Jesus' appearance and his breathing of the Holy Spirit on them, the disciples are now ready to go into the world and proclaim the good news of Jesus' ministry to others. Much like the second Genesis creation narrative in which God breathes the breath of life into human beings, Jesus' breath offers a new life of ministry and resiliency to the disciples. In the past few years, it may have felt as though we are in need of the Holy Spirit's presence to rebuild our resilience. Grappling with the ongoing pandemic and anxieties around social behavior, should I continue to wear my mask? Is it safe to travel? Should I feel guilty about returning to some normalcy? A war erupting in Eastern Europe, continued inflation, and to top it off, the looming challenges we are facing due to climate change, we may want to refuse to accept reality. It is easier to pretend that these things are not affecting us because the grief and discomfort of facing these global challenges are just too much for us to wrap our head around. We may want to lock ourselves away and try to hide out of fear of what the future might hold. Looking at this time in our collective history, one might think that it would cause us to come together and be more willing to support one another, to anticipate global phenomena such as a pandemic, and to find ways to prevent or lessen their impact. This hasn't been the case. For many, climate change and related issues of pollution and social and economic harm have dropped out of people's awareness. Rising gas prices have not caused our nation to seek out alternatives, but rather to double down on our dependence on fossil fuel consumption. War in Ukraine is motivated not just by ideological claims of Russian ethnic identity, as claimed by the Russian government, but also by the vast resources found within Ukrainian soil. Ukraine has the second largest natural gas reserves in Europe, as well as the sixth largest coal reserves. These fossil fuel deposits are generally found in the eastern part of Ukraine, which just so happens to be the area that the Russian government is interested in annexing back into Russian territory. Possessing energy means possessing power in our current global economy. How can we hope to be resilient in times when things seem so bleak? When some of us can't even bear to look at the news because it only seems to be going from bad to worse? When we're already experiencing the effects of global climate change, droughts, wildfires, flooding, pandemics, and it feels like it's too late. When we find ourselves trapped in a metaphorical locked room, afraid to face what's on the other side of the door. Resiliency is thought to come from a variety of sources. Building connections, fostering wellness, finding purpose, and seeking help when needed. These things all help us through difficult times. We see some of these actions in the disciples through their gathering and relying on one another in the absence of Jesus, and then their motivation to go out into the world and spread his word of his life and ministry to others. Coming together offers us the opportunity to support one another through challenging times, to have diverse perspectives and ways of approaching problems, to work together to make a way out of no way. Coming together with the earth helps us to better understand its systems and the ways our actions impact it. The Holy Spirit binds us together to make care for the earth a priority. Jesus' ministry provides an example of seeking justice and healing for our neighbors. And our faith in his ministry bolsters us to face the challenges of today. This past Friday was Earth Day. Earth Day generally encourages us to appreciate the earth for how it supports us, as well as causes us to examine the ways we interact with it and its many systems. A celebration of our shared commitment to the earth while also bringing attention to the harmful and exploitative injustices tied to our use and misuse of Earth's resources. COVID brought into sharp focus the ways in which our global community is deeply connected. Not only has the specter of the virus caused us to change our lives in drastic ways, it has made social and economic disparities even more apparent. A pandemic itself can be the result of the loss of biodiversity in our ecosystems, harming the Earth's own resiliency and preventing the ways in which natural systems can heal themselves. Earth's health effects are our own health, and continuing to disrupt those systems will only bring about harm to ourselves. Failure to see ourselves as a part rather than separate from nature will diminish our ability to aid in its resilience. If we do not learn some climate resiliency now and attempt to dampen the effects of climate change, we will find ourselves forced to adapt. As people of God, of the resurrected Christ, we are a resilient people. We are a people who, through faith, have hope for the world. We also acknowledge the ways we fall short and the responsibility we have to care for one another. As the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, stated on 2021's Earth Day, it is central to our holy calling to treasure the earth and care for it as our home, fully integrating creation care into our love of God, neighbor, and all in the environment. Despite how deeply distraught we might feel in light of climate change or other global challenges, we have the ability to find resilience in a world that will inevitably change and have more challenges in the years to come. The Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, head of the Orthodox Christian Churches, also known as the Green Patriarch, offers these words of hope and resilience. It is never too late. God's world has incredible healing powers, and human choices can change the tide in global warming. Within a single generation, we could steer Earth toward our children's future. With God's blessing and help, that generation can begin now. For the first time in the history of our world, we recognize that our decisions and choices directly impact the environment. It is up to us to shape our future. It is up to us to choose our destiny. Breaking the vicious cycle of ecological degradation is a choice with which we are uniquely endowed at this crucial moment in the history of our planet. A call to you this Earth Day Sunday is to find ways you can become resilient and create change in this world. Acknowledge the ways you have fallen short in your care and concern for the earth. Repent of those sins and work to remediate them. Find something you are passionate about and start there. Want to feel closer to nature or God? Schedule time to spend time outside and see how it makes you more aware of your surroundings. Feel God's presence in creation and the intricate ways in which we are connected to our environment. Find ways to connect with others around environmental issues and ways you feel motivated to address them. Are you passionate about economic or racial justice issues? Find out how these are connected to environmental justice and how they influence each other. Speak truth to power by holding government officials and corporations responsible for failing to protect and actively harming the earth. Help communities of color and low-income communities gain access to climate resiliency planning so that they don't have to bear the brunt of climate change effects. There are ways we can build our resilience through our faith and help to envision a future full of hope, adapting to the changes in our earthly home. Even though we may be fearful about the future, we are not helpless. We are at a pivotal point in Earth's history in which we can affect change. We trust in the risen love who forgives our sins and promises the establishment of a new creation, one in which we can aid in bringing about full of justice and righteousness. Amen.
Thank you.
be seated. As we are called to prayer by the singing of Lead Me, Lord, we invite you to pray in the ways that you are moved to best support the prayers of our community this morning. Stand or kneel at the altar rail, raise your hands in your place, respond in a language other than English, however the Spirit moves you this morning. Our prayers today are shaped by Reverend Dr. Jessica Chica and by the Episcopal Church's Standing Commission on Liturgy and Music. I will state the petition and then we'll say, Merciful God, if you would please respond, keep your planet and people in peace. This response is also found in your bulletin. And now, beloved, let us pray with Lead Me, Lord. Blessed God, whose love calls the whole creation into covenant with you, and who puts in our hands responsibility for the care of the earth and its creatures, we pray for all to whom you have given life and being. For the well-being of the earth, for its resources of water, air, light, and soil, that they may be tended for the good of all creatures. Merciful God, keep your planet and people in peace. For the waters of the earth, for their careful use and conservation, that we may have the will and the ability to keep them clean and pure. Merciful God, keep your planet and people in peace. For the mineral and energy resources of the planet, that we may learn sustainable consumption and sound care of the environment from which they come. Merciful God, keep your planet and people in peace. For the animals of the earth, wild and domestic, large and very small, that they may know the harmony of relationship that sustains all life. Merciful God, keep your planet and people in peace. For the creatures of the earth who do us harm, and those whose place in your creation we do not understand or welcome, that we may see them as beloved creatures of God. Merciful God, keep your planet and people in peace. For all who shape public policies affecting the planet and its creatures, that they may consider wisely the well-being of all who come after us. Merciful God, keep your planet and people in peace. For the creatures and the human beings of your world who are ill, or in danger, pain, or special need, and for all who suffer from the unjust, violent, or wasteful use of the earth's resources, or their devastation by war, that all may one day live in communities of justice and peace, we pray. Merciful God, Keep your planet and people in peace. For the gifts of science and technology, and for those who practice these skills, that they may be wise, visionary, and compassionate in their work. Merciful God, keep your planet and people in peace. For the creatures and the people of the earth whose lives and deaths have contributed to the fruitful abundance of this planet. Merciful God, keep your planet and people in peace. Gracious God, grant that your people may have in them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, and guide us into harmony of relationship through loving kindness and the wise use of all that you have given. For you are drawing all things into communion with you and with each other by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, beloved, we continue with the prayer Jesus Christ has taught us to be bold and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Gracious God, through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have given immeasurable grace to us. May our offerings reflect the grace we have received and symbolize lives committed to the service of our risen Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
of life and source of freedom. We know all that we have received is from your hand. You call us to be stewards of your abundance, the caretakers of all you have entrusted to us. Help us always to use your gifts wisely and teach us to share them generously. May our faithful stewardship bear witness to the love of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen.
May God bless and keep us. May God's face shine on us and be gracious to us. May God look upon us with favor and give us peace.